Do you know what this is? A tape or a cassette. Yeah, remember we used to listen to these things. This is how we got our music, right? This is how we got our music. Remember when after a while, if you listened to it too long, it would untangle like this. And if you left it, it got untangled and it got untangled in your car stereo, then it got stuck in there and it played the same songs all every day. You remember that? And every time you got in the car, you turned ignition, I was like, dun, 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 and you're like, oh, I'm so over this. And for me, if it got untangled, then it'd snap here, you know, and then you would tape it up and then you wind it back up and you put it back in the tape player. And every time your favorite song came on, maybe your girlfriend had sent it to you, your boyfriend, your real friend, and you put it back in the tape player, and every time it went on and it went past the bit with the tape on, it was like, for me, it was like, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, Mama say, Mama say, Mama say, Mama say, Mama say, you remember that? And after a while, I mean, you could probably remember the song right now. After a while, we needed to, you know, wind this thing back up. What mixtapes do you have going around in your head? What cassette is stuck in the car radio player? What is it that goes around in your head that says you don't belong, you're not worthy, you don't deserve it? What is it that plays around in your head that's stuck like a mixtape? My name's Keith Arkham. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And if I haven't met you yet, by the way, I'd love to meet you in the lobby after the service. We're on week 6 of our series, Deconstruction. And the Deconstruction Zone was a place where we deconstruct some of the things we've grown up with, which haven't been good with us and haven't been good for us to follow Jesus. There haven't been things for us to properly understand what it means to follow Jesus. And James Emery White says in his series, which we have adopted, that these come in 3 major areas: our behavior, our beliefs, and our belonging. Belonging is one of our deepest human needs. Belonging to something, someone, some group is what we all need. When I was a kid, I always wanted to belong to this one gang, this group of guys, and they were like their names were Curly, Vandy, and Lavelle. They were like the holy trinity of coolness. These people, I wanted to be in their group so bad, I was like, I don't know, I was like 14, 15 years old, and wind got out that I wanted to be in their group. And Lavelle, the kind of de facto leader of the group, came up to me one day in an awkward kind of moment where I had my bike, and I was getting on my bike, and he said to me, hey, here you want to be in our group? Here you want to be part of the team kind of thing? And I says, yeah. He says, well, going to town, we're going downtown on Saturday. You want to come with us? Yeah, I'm in. I'm in the group. I'm in the team. I belong. And my father never really liked these 3 guys. I should have took note of them then. But basically, I never really belonged. Later on, I became a follower of Jesus, decided that being a Christian was the thing I wanted to do. I wanted to belong to the What's Happening Now denomination. Yeah, I joined this one church. It was a Church of England church, but they had church at 6 o'clock at night, which was really cool. And the Holy Spirit always showed up at 6 o'clock for some reason. It was amazing. And then I got involved in the Pentecostal church because they liked to dance in church, which was always my favorite. And then later I belonged to an organization called the Naval Christian Fellowship, and they welcomed me in. Julie and I were members of a Baptist church. We were part of that group of people for a long time. We belong to them. Later, I've seen the fruits of the Salvation Army. And the Salvation Army were awesome because they were really into social justice, and you always got a tambourine with it. What about you? What group do you belong to? What denomination have you always belong to? Is your belonging to that denomination, is your commitment to that group greater than your commitment to Jesus? Does it override that? Even in our groups, we have these like groups of people within the groups. There's the avid followers. They're the ones who are there no matter what. They're like Bucks fans, no matter if they're like down, all the way down the bottom of the league, or all the way going well with Tom Brady. Like they're constantly involved in people's in the group. And then you've got the rule followers. They know the specifics, the statistics of the league. They know what's important. They know the numbers and the stats and everything. And then you have just the like trend followers. Just the people who are there to see whether there's any free food or not. And these three groups were prevalent in Jesus' day. Of course, today's Palm Sunday that we celebrate Palm Sunday. And we're in Matthew's Gospel, so the first Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 21. It's the Sunday before. The Bible's kind of slowed down, and we're getting minute-by-minute account of what's happening with the Savior. So we're in Matthew 21. If you've got your Bible with you, open it. You might see something different of this story you might seem to know well. Verse 1. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." So Jesus tells two of his disciples, he always sends two all the way through the scriptures. There's always two giving witness to Jesus and his resurrection. But he goes and sends these two to Bethpage, and he tells them, go steal two animals, right? Go steal two animals. Well, no, because Jesus has been there before, and he set up a couple of code words. In Matthew's Gospel, there's two animals, a colt and its donkey, and the others is just one animal. So he says, go and get these two animals, and I've got a code word for you to see. It's right here in verse 3. He says, what? Four words. The Lord needs them. The Lord needs them. That's the code words. Jesus has already been to the town beforehand and said, hey, I'm going to send my disciples to go get the donkey and the colt. So the two of them go over and pick up these two animals for Jesus to go into town on. Verse 4 says, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and riding on a donkey's colt. And that's in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. So the two disciples did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. So this is fulfilling prophecy. But for some reason, even though the Jews knew their scripture really well, they missed this one point, that the Messiah was going to come in riding on a donkey. See, they wanted the king to come in and take over Rome, and they wanted this great big personality to come in on a war horse with a sword and chopping up all the Romans out the way, and like, guess what? The new king's in town. With a big entourage and a great big ceremony. And they thought that he was going to take over just like David had done, just like other Old Testament kings had done. And the scriptures point to what was happening now. And yet for some reason, the Jews that were gathered there for the Passover expected something else. Some people knew. The avid fans knew what was going on, and they were protecting the way of Jesus all the way up to Jerusalem. And they were making sure that the colt and the donkey were all ready to go, and they put the cloaks on the donkey, so it was a good ride for Jesus to get up the 3,300 feet up to Jerusalem. Of course, the Pharisees were there. They wanted to see what was going on, right? They wanted to make sure, find out what Jesus is doing so they could make sure that they could have something to arrest him with. They were the rule followers. They've been doing this all the time he was on the earth. And then there was the trend followers. Apparently, scholars and theologians say there was 125,000 people in Jerusalem that day. They come for Passover, and they heard about the Messiah, the rabbi, on the donkey, and they all turned out in full. All three groups waving palms. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Son of David. Blessed is the Messiah. Verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." That's Hosanna. They had thought that the king, this is their construct. Their construct was they thought the king was going to come into town on a war horse, and yet here he comes on a donkey. Here he comes riding with two animals into the city of Jerusalem. Verse 10 says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowd replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And the tape that they had playing, if you were a Jew, was gradually unraveling. The tape that they'd played for so long that the king was going to come in on a war horse was gradually going away. Gradually becoming unraveled. What was it that they need to deconstruct in order for them to understand what it meant to follow Jesus? The Lord needs this donkey. And so instead of riding in on the war horse, he's now riding in on a humble donkey, which epitomizes who Jesus is. And the whole framework, though, had been messed up by this reality, this fulfillment of scriptures. See, if you were a Jew, this was it. This is the moment that you had been waiting for all your life, the king to come in Jerusalem. And he's on a donkey? Seriously? A lot of deconstructing was going on. And how many of the people would follow Jesus after this event? Well, we know that the avid followers, the disciples, the 12 of them, well, that went down to 11 because one tragically took his own life because he was following money instead. We know that of the Pharisees, the rule followers, the Sadducees and the scribes, we know at least two followed Jesus because Joseph of Arimathea would take Jesus down off the cross along with Nicodemus, the guy that went to see him at night and asking him about salvation. So we know at least two rule followers followed Jesus. There was probably more. And then the trend followers, they didn't care. They were ready for the next Taylor Swift concert to come into town. I don't know. They were ready for whatever next was going to go on. We have no idea how many of those followed Jesus. Imagine yourself there. Imagine being part of the 125,000. Imagine being part of the throng of people that were there. Which crowd do you belong to? Do you belong to the avid followers? Do you belong to the rule followers, the scribes and the Pharisees? Or are you just one of the trend followers? Which group do you belong to? See, I don't belong to the Church of England. I don't belong to the Baptist Church. Whew, it was close. I don't belong to the Episcopalian Church. I don't belong to any kind of Vineyard Church. I don't belong to the Pentecostals. I don't belong to the Methodist church. I belong to Jesus. And you all, no matter what your belonging in the past, no matter what your belonging today, no matter the deconstructing that you've been to or been through, your tape is like a... This is really important when you've got a tape, by the way. Your tape, when you're following Jesus, when you reconstruct your life, you've got to do a bit of deconstructing first. We've got to bring this down, I guess. But when you reconstruct around Jesus, your tape gets put back in order. Your cassette is put back the way it once was meant to be. We bring it back to a place where it can play the tape that is really important to you. There might be some tapes going around in your head. There might be some songs going on, playlists, things that are not true. Things that are saying that you must belong to this group, you must belong to this group. But the person that you belong to, especially today, is the King. The King is here, and you belong to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we belong to you. Thank you so much, Lord, that no matter what our previous belonging, no matter what we thought we should belong to, Lord, we belong to you. And as we've deconstructed over these few weeks, Lord, as we deconstruct some of the things that we think we belong to, we ask, Lord God, that you would show us through your Spirit that the best thing, the best hero, the best leader ever to belong to you is you, King Jesus. We ask this all in that precious and powerful name. And all of God's people said,